According to the Presbyterian planning calendar, that's sort of hard for me to say this morning. According to the Presbyterian planning calendar, this Sunday is a day set aside to talk about immigration. Now, this is something Presbyterians do. Just about every Sunday, according to our planning calendar, just about every Sunday is dedicated to some theme. So that if a church wanted to, a church could go through the year thematically. Most Sundays talking about one issue or another. One Sunday may be dedicated to the arts, and the next Sunday may be dedicated to incarceration. And it's not a bad way to plan worship each Sunday. But I confess, the denomination sort of lost me on the subject of thematic Sundays early in my ministry when I was serving a church in the Salinas Valley. Gonzales, the town where I was working and living, was surrounded by lettuce and broccoli fields. Several members of the congregation either owned large ranches or they worked in the industry selling seeds and pesticides and things like that. And it seemed natural to me then that we should observe Rural Ministry Sunday sometime in April. And so I brought this idea up to the church that we should celebrate Rural Ministry Sunday, and they just laughed at me. For one thing, the materials for the Sunday that came from the denomination seem to have been written by someone living in the suburbs. But more importantly, the folks in the church pointed out to me that every Sunday in Gonzales was Rural Ministry Sunday. And they didn't really need a denominational proclamation to help them celebrate themselves or to validate what they had been doing since long before anyone ever invented a Presbyterian planning calendar or decided to put a theme day on it. Honestly, I feel something similar when I think about addressing the issue of immigration with this congregation. Several weeks ago, when I first decided to do an Immigration Sunday, I thought I'd talk about how immigration should be a subject of particular concern for Christians, given the fact that immigration is so important a theme in the Bible. But you already know that. I considered also the possibility of getting political. After all, we live in a nation that saw fit to elect a president with the hubris to build a wall along the U.S.-Mexico border, replacing a wall that in most places already exists along the border, a wall that, like the existing wall, almost certainly would not keep immigrants out of the United States, but would keep immigrants in the United States. The data show this is true, by the way. It was the Clinton administration that first started building serious walls along the border in an effort to force immigrants into the desert to make the crossing more dangerous. Two things happened. First, a lot of people died, but those who survived, they didn't want to make crossing the border a regular thing, so they stayed in the United States, and they brought their families north to stay in the United States as well. After the Clinton administration and then the second Bush administration built the walls that currently exist, the population of undocumented migrants living in the United States grew significantly. There's no reason to think this wouldn't continue to be the case under a Trump wall. Of course, there are places where the wall does not yet exist along the U.S.-Mexico border, principally that place being the middle of the Rio Grande. But even if the Trump administration actually succeeds in building a complete wall, able to withstand heat in the summer and cold in the winter, a wall that will be unmoved by shifting sand and rushing waters, even if that wall can be constructed, ladders remain easy to use, inexpensive to buy, and readily available in Mexico. But you know that. This congregation has been involved in helping immigrants for a long time, at least since the 1980s, and probably longer than that. You declared yourselves a sanctuary church more than 30 years ago. You are part of the East Bay Sanctuary Covenant. And in the last couple of months, I've been interviewed by local television, by a producer for an Oscar-winning documentary filmmaker, and by a reporter from the German equivalent of National Public Radio, all of whom want to know about what Montclair Presbyterian Church is doing around immigration issues. And it makes me really happy to talk about your long history of activism, including what you have done more recently together in support of the Ordonez family, a family from Honduras who you helped to get asylum in the United States. You also helped find work for them. You helped pay for their housing, and now you have contracted with them to provide janitorial service for the church. It is a great story you are a part of. And it's a real, you should feel really good about the role you have played in that story. You should feel good about the fact that you don't need me to tell you that addressing issues around immigration is really important for people of faith. So what's left? I could remind you that immigration is as American as apple pie, because unless you happen to be descended from folks who lived in North America prior to what they call European contact, you are descended from immigrants. And actually, several Native American people groups are migratory as well. So if you are ethnically Native American, there's no guarantee you're not descended from some kind of immigrant. In fact, you don't even have to live in North America to be descended from immigrants. Most of the world's population have immigrated from somewhere to another place. Migration, you see, is human behavior. And so if you are opposed to immigration, you are opposed to human behavior. But again, I suspect you know that. The question remains then is this: what does immigration have to do with religion? Why should religion in general, and Christianity in particular, be concerned with issues like immigration? And I'm not just talking about the progressive variation of Protestantism that we practice here in the left ventricle of America's bleeding heartland. According to the Gospels, Jesus was concerned about welcoming the stranger. This is an idea that is reflected in the passage that Pat read to us this morning. And parts of the Jewish Bible, the parts of the Bible that we call the Old Testament, they're filled with stories of migration, and there are several direct and not so subtle passages that demand care for immigrants as a spiritual responsibility. And why is that? Of course, plenty of Christians ignore those stories and teachings and rules about immigration. Who am I to say they're not right to do so? Well, I think that question directs us to examine the core function of religion, to ask, what does religion do, and what is religion for? There's an image that I picked up when I was much younger during my evangelical spiritual formation that I like. It's the image of the cross, which is used as a diagram for the purpose of religion. A cross, of course, has a vertical line and a horizontal line, and so does religion. The vertical line connects us to God, which is one task of religion, and the other line, the horizontal line, connects us to humanity, to our neighbors, to those in need, to the world around us. Or if you prefer less pious imagery, religion is like science and technology. The job of science is to learn about the universe through a process of observation and investigation and experimentation. Technology takes what science has learned and applies it such that it becomes useful for humanity, or if not useful, at least usable. Like religion, technology can be used and has been used and is being used for good and for ill. But just as technology relies upon the explorations of science, before religion can be applied horizontally, religion must look vertically to explore what is transcendent and to learn from that spiritual exploration. And then religious people must, with faithfulness, use what we have learned about God and apply that knowledge to the world around us and to the people who live with us in that world. Now, I'm a Christian because I trust that at its core, when practiced faithfully, the Christian faith is a way of knowing God that directs us to the knowledge of a benevolent and loving reality, a deity who, though mysterious and complicated, ultimately desires humanity to act in ways that reflect the divine love we encounter in our spiritual explorations. And that means when we have learned of a loving and welcoming God, we must act among humans in ways that reflect God's love and welcome, which means we must be kind to immigrants and treat them with justice and hospitality. But of course, such kindness doesn't always come easy for us. A couple of weeks ago, a significant portion of our congregation spent time together at Lake Tahoe. Our retreat speaker was a man by the name of Eric Clark, a seminary classmate of Talitha's, who is now active in Presbyterian peacemaking efforts. And one of the things that Eric wanted us to know about the work of religion is that most of the world's modern religions emerged at the same time that empires emerged. And modern religion began as a way of pushing back against the power and the values of empire. Of course, religion has been co-opted by empire along the way, but that was not religion's original intent. Rather, religion began because as people did the spiritual work of exploring the transcendent realms, people figured out the spiritual goodness they met was inconsistent with the evil of empire, and therefore people tried to change the world around them so that it reflected spiritual realities rather than the violence and greed of empire. And I would say this basic task of religion remains unchanged, and this brings me back to immigration. We live in a world that is experiencing a reactionary anti-immigration moment. And it's not just in the United States with Trump's wall that Mexico's going to pay for. Rather, anti-immigrant movements have inspired Britain's exit from the European Union, and anti-immigration movements nearly got reactionary politicians elected in several European countries. There are immigrants all over the world. And wherever there are immigrants, there are people who want those immigrants to go away, who want to shut doors and build walls. But religion stands in opposition to that anti-immigrant mentality, or at least it should. Those who have plumbed the depths of God's love, who have found benevolence in the exploration of what is transcendent, and who have applied that goodness when interacting with the world, which is to say, those who practice good religion, know that every child is a child of God. Good religion knows that, as Jesus said, to welcome an immigrant is to welcome God. Good religion knows that immigrants bless and strengthen the societies where they settle. Naturally, there is no guarantee that religious people will apply their spiritual knowledge in good ways, just as there's no guarantee science will render technology that won't destroy the earth through global warming or nuclear winter. But for years now, you, in this congregation, you have chosen a loving and peaceful spiritual application on the issue of immigration. And you've done this locally. You have worked directly with those who have crossed our nation's borders and settled in the East Bay. This has made issues of immigration deeply personal to you over the years. You've supported larger organizations, but you didn't just support the work that other people are doing in other places. You have chosen a better path. You have been involved directly, and I am grateful for what you have done over the years and for what you continue to do relative to immigration. I am grateful for the ways you teach me about how to be a good Christian, about how to practice good religion. Amen.